All right, and I believe we have just pushed the right button to record this call. And again, it is an honor to hear Brother Don Andre Roseberry. We love and appreciate him and his family, and we really enjoy listening to him, his style of teaching, the way that he's able to expound upon the Word of God. He does it in such a patient manner and such an instructional manner. And he does it, most importantly, church, with love, with a great spirit of love in wanting to impart the Word of God to the people of God. And so, with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Brother Roseberry. Brother Roseberry, are you there, sir? All right, I'm sure I need to do something on this new app right now. Hold on one second. All right, Brother Roseberry, go ahead and speak up and see if I can hear you.
All right, Brother Vic, I'm here.
Oh, okay, there, I hear you loud and clear. Thank you, sir. Go right ahead, Brother Roseberry.
Okay. And good evening, church and visitors. And it's my privilege and honor to bring to you some scripture tonight. And we are starting a more of a Bible study format. So we're going to focus more on scriptures and verses on this night, on Monday night. And as Brother Vic mentioned, the beginning of a life with Christ is we call the new birth. And if you have not heard that before, or you're new and you don't remember, the reason we call it a new birth is that in the book of John, chapter 3, there's a story of a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, it says in verse 1. He was somebody of importance and of influence. Somebody who was well studied in the Old Testament scriptures. And he came to Jesus, and he had some questions for him. And Jesus said in chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How? Can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He was sincere. He was saying, Jesus, I don't understand this. I've never heard of this before. And so Jesus answered in verse 5. Again, he said, Verily, verily, or that would be the same as saying, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so that is why we call it the new birth. And whether you have just begun or a new birth experience, or whether you're seeking the Holy Ghost, you're just seeking truth, I want to know what the Word of the Lord says. We want to bring some of those verses to you tonight. If you've just been filled with the Holy Ghost or in the last couple of years, then you would know that you have begun a life of infinite joy and blessing. And earth holds no greater thrill or happiness than what a true born-again Christian enjoys. There's just no greater fulfillment than being filled with the Holy Ghost, being born again of the water and the Spirit. We know that there are pitfalls and testings and temptations. For Satan has been robbed of his prey, and he's angry. And he will do all in his power to draw you back again. Therefore, it is only by the power of the Holy Ghost that is inside of you that you'll be able to truly overcome. And so we want to get into the scriptures tonight and see what does the Bible have to say about New Testament salvation and what we call being born again of the water and the Spirit. And so we're in a phase of seeking and of learning, and we need the scriptures to be open to us. The Bible says that Jesus opened the scriptures and gave them understanding of what they were reading. And so we see that in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter, the Apostle Peter, he's preaching the first New Testament new birth message. And he's saying in verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, we know that this is on the day of Pentecost. And we know that previously to the scriptures, the Holy Ghost was poured out, and it flowed out from the upper room onto the streets below, and everybody saw and heard something. And they asked Peter, "What's going on?" And he preached to them and said, you crucified the Messiah. You crucified Jesus. But let me tell you his message of hope. And so he broke it up in three parts: repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and the receiving of God's Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Some places say Holy Spirit, they say Spirit. There's many different descriptions, but it is the Spirit of the living God. And so we want to focus on repentance tonight, because you're not going to get very far without repentance, without just coming clean with God. He knows all things already, but he wants us to submit and to confess all things to him. And so if we turn to the book of Luke, and I'm going to be turning there with you, taking the time, the book of Luke, chapter 24, and if we look, Jesus has already been crucified and has risen from the dead, and he's about to ascend to heaven. And so here is Jesus at the end of his earthly ministry, and you would think that somebody who's going away has spent the last years of their life just pouring into these disciples, these men. This is his life's work, and he's about to leave the earth. And Brother Vic might be having some technical difficulties. I'm not sure. But in verse 44, Jesus is speaking to the disciples as he's about to ascend to heaven. And these are the words he leaves with them in verse 44. Jesus says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these very things." He's saying, the scriptures have been fulfilled. You have seen it for yourself, that prophecy has been fulfilled accurately. And I'm leaving to you my last words, my commission. I'm charging you. And in verse 49, he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So back in verse 47, he points out repentance, this is Jesus, and remission of sin. And then he goes on and to say, you're going to receive the power. Now, we just read in Acts 2:38, the same man, Peter, who was there with Jesus. Now, Peter is preaching and teaching the salvation message. So he is doing what Jesus commissioned him to do. And repentance is critical. Every time that somebody receives the Holy Ghost, they're going to be a repentant heart. There's going to be repentance somewhere in their life. You might repent before you ever come to service. Some people have testified that in the year before they came to God, they were going through a process of repentance. Some people, it's a one time, it just happens all at once, and they've got it covered, and they're ready. But Romans chapter 2, verses 4, I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 talks about repentance like this: he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I looked up the definition of repentance from Webster's, and it says like this: to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment or the correction of one's life, to feel regret or contrition, to change one's mind. So we see that the apostles preach repentance because that Jesus taught them about repentance and commanded them to preach it. We see what repentance means in itself. It is to turn, or to turn away from sin, to walk a different life. Now, the Bible, many times, over and over, you'll see that it will eventually, it'll explain itself. It'll give you understanding. And we see in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, the apostle is describing repentance. But he's saying in verse 9, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry. I don't want you just to be sorry. But he said that you sorrowed to repentance. So the Apostle Paul is making a statement here saying, you can be sorry and not repent. You can be sorry that you got caught. You can be sorry for many different reasons, but you're not making a decision to change from that lifestyle. But ye sorrow to repent, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Or in other words, a real sorrow is going to lead to salvation. You're not going to be sorry about that. But if you continue to make excuses, that's just being sorry. And you're going to be left feeling guilty and ashamed. You're not going to receive the joy and the peace of salvation. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For godly sorrow worketh repentance of salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Peter says it like this. He describes repentance. We might think of, well, who needs to repent? Do all people need to repent? And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Or we could say it like this: God keeps his word. God lives up to his word. I could count on his word. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward. Now, I don't know about you, but this next part is so important to me. I have used it so many times in my personal prayer life. he goes on to say, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Perish means to die. And what it's talking about in this context is to die lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is not based on a culture, on a background, on a lineage, wealthy, poor, popular, unknown, but it says that all should come to repentance. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 30, the writer gives us a little bit more insight on why we need to repent. Now, I want you to keep in mind, we're talking about the new birth salvation, but we've just broken down into small steps, and we're only talking about repentance. And in chapter 17 and verse 30, the writer says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere. Again, it's all. That little word, all, that opens up to us, all that are listening. All of us should repent. We can all experience the goodness of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of God, because he put that word in there, all. Now, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And verse 31 says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Now that's that could be a little bit dark. Ooh, there's a day coming. We're all going to be judged. But here comes our hope. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, we're talking about the Lord Jesus, that he hath raised him from the dead. So God commands everyone, everywhere, to repent. It's a commandment. There's no way around it. I want to repent. I want to make things right. I want to turn. I want God to get in my life, in my heart, take away the sin, and forgive me and give me hope. I want to repent. Now, in the book of 1 John, the writer, he begins to talk, and he's talking pretty strong. And I'm going to turn there, 1 John chapter 1. And he starts to talk about there might be people who think they don't need to repent. Well, let's see what the book says. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's start at verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light, this is the saints of God, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. How many has enjoyed seeing each other after all this time being isolated? Coming to the house of God, seeing our brother and sister. It's been encouraging. But he says here, fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from sin. When we repent, this is a spiritual process where the blood of Jesus is applied to our life. We repent before we get the Holy Ghost, but we can repent after. We can get forgiveness and cleansing over and over. But right now we're focusing on the new birth experience. Verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We're tricking ourselves. We're getting snagged and caught in a snare. Nobody likes to be deceived. Well, this is saying we're deceiving ourselves if we say we have no sin. And even more, the writer says, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, all church visitor, it's not a hard thing. If we confess our sins, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, we know the Lord is not a liar, and we know his word doesn't lie. That means I need to confess my sin. But verse 9 is so beautiful, so powerful. But church, it's so simple. It's so real. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, how good we feel after repentance. Hallelujah. How much hope that we feel. Man, I'm supposed to be teaching, but I'm getting excited about this. We're almost done here. So, if we will look at, let's see, we're going to read one account where the Bible connects repentance and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and that is Acts chapter 11 and verse 15 through 18. Peter is telling the brethren what happened when he preached to a man named Cornelius. In Cornelius' house, the Holy Ghost was poured out in his house. So let's read verse 15. Peter says to the brethren, he went back to the church with a good report. He said, I was on a trip, and I was preaching. I went to a home there. And this is what happened. And he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. He said, we weren't at the synagogue. We weren't at the church. We weren't at the marketplace. We weren't at a park. We weren't at a tent meeting. We were just in somebody's home, somebody that was hungry for God. And I began preaching to them the word of the Lord. And he said, the Holy Ghost fell on them, just like us at the beginning. He's referring again to Acts chapter 2, actually Acts chapter 1, and verse 2, where they received the Holy Ghost for the first time. He's saying, I saw it happen, just like it happened to us. Verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John, indeed, baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? What was I that I could withstand God? He's telling them, I saw it happen just like it happened to us. God's done the same for them. In verse 18, the brethren reply, and they say, when they heard these things, they held their peace. They didn't argue about it. They could not argue what God was doing. And they glorified God. And this is what they had to say. God has also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And the life they're talking about is the new birth life, being born again. And they're telling them they received the Holy Ghost. So that's evidence. That's obvious that they had a genuine repentance. And God is opening up New Testament salvation to the Gentiles, to all. Again, that same word that we looked at already, all. It was now they knew. This is to be preached to all. And I'm going to have one more verse and then give it to Brother Vic. I just want to end talking to you tonight. We've gone slow to see what the word of the Lord has to say about repentance, because repentance is a necessary component to new birth salvation and also just to living for God daily. In Romans chapter 2, I'll turn there and read this, and then we'll give it back to Brother Vic after that. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. All right, I'm there. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Hallelujah. We can be wealthy in the Spirit, in the things of God. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, and long-suffering? How much does God put up with us as he's calling us, as he's extending mercy, as he's calling us to live for him? Forbearance and long-suffering. And God's not doing it angrily, but he's doing it out of love. Let's finish the verse. Not knowing. Don't you know? He's saying, you're despising, you're turning your back on the things of God, on the call of God. You're turning your back on his hand outstretched towards you. You're despising the riches of his goodness because you don't understand, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God that is calling you, that is leading you, that is in front of you, saying, oh, let's repent. Oh, God's been long-suffering and he's been forbearing, but let's repent. Let's turn. Let's get some things behind us. Let's get ready for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Let's surrender our life. Let's turn our back on our own ways. Let's not make excuse for our sin, but, oh, God, I repent. Oh, God, I want nothing to do with my will and my ways, but I want to follow you. Praise God. Well, I hope that these verses have struck something in your heart, in your mind. And this is not exhaustive tonight, but we could get into many Bible stories, David and Bathsheba. We can get into many things in the Bible to express and describe repentance. And you can begin to do that on your own. You can get into a Bible study. There's just so much. I encourage you to study more on your own if you have more questions. And at this time, Brother Vic, if you're there, I'd like to turn it over to you.
I am back on. Can you hear me, Brother Roseberry?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you, Brother Roseberry. This was tremendous tonight. And before I go any further, I just need to apologize to everyone. I hope everyone's hearing is okay after we had the little outburst at the beginning. Again, we have a new system, and we had some technical issues at the beginning. So I want to say I'm sorry to everyone. We shouldn't have that happen again. But we do want to thank Brother Roseberry for this great lesson on repentance and for Brother Roseberry breaking it down in such an easy to understand manner. You know, he mentioned something about hope towards the beginning, and I realized that this is truly a message of hope for all of us, church. The goodness of God, it's the goodness of God that leads men, women, and young people to repentance. You know what? Why don't we just thank God right now together? And those of us who've experienced repentance, we're going to thank God. And if there's some of us who don't quite understand it or haven't truly repented, you can do that right now, beginning right now as we pray. And when we hang up tonight, you can continue to repent tonight with that earnest spirit of repentance now that we have an idea of what that is, thanks to Brother Roseberry. Let's thank God for that right now together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Brother Roseberry. We thank you for this message and lesson on repentance and what repentance is, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come to you in the first steps of coming into your kingdom, to repent of our sins and to turn around from our old past and begin to walk a new life in you, Lord Jesus. We're praying for those that are on the line that are just learning about repentance or haven't done the first steps of repentance, but now we have an opportunity to do that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it, and we ask you to bless everyone on this call. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And with that said, church, we want to welcome everyone to come back to this same conference call tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. where we will be hearing our morning manna testimony devotion from Sister Cindy. So we look forward to that. Praise God. Everyone have a great night, and we will be hearing tomorrow morning on our Morning Manna devotion. Thank you. Good night.